Let us recall the story. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethage and Bethlehem, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter, you will find there tied a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near the door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "Why are you doing this, untying the colt?" They told them that Jesus had said that they were allowed to take it. They then brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Then he returned to Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Amen. Choir, that was beautiful. I was so in it, I didn't even get up to come and do the sermon. I was like, yeah, Hosanna. Friends, will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and redeemer still. Amen. Friends, this Lent leading up to Easter next week, our theme has been "Tell Me Something Good," focusing on the good news that Jesus brought. So the first week, we remembered that the good news is all are invited in the parable of the banquet. The next week, the good news is so good it catches us by surprise. That parable of the mustard seed grows beyond our comparison. The good news is great love for God and neighbor, the woman washing Jesus' feet with her hair. The good news is together the impossible is possible, the feeding of the 5,000. Protection and care for the vulnerable is the next week, where Jesus blesses the children and remembers that God's care for the refugee, the alien, those among us. Last week, we talked about the good news rooted in justice, mercy, and faithfulness. "Let the one who is without sin throw the first stone," was the story we heard. And so today, we are digging into the good news that inspires us to act. And Palm Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays. Some of my earliest memories I have are waving palm branches and singing about Jesus coming to Jerusalem while children stood along the way waving these palms. Can I get some waving? We still have ours. Hosanna, friends. Look at that. I think I loved it and I still love it because it's such a tactile experience. And it's always been so playful. And when I was growing up, much like some of us here growing up, church wasn't something I would always describe as playful, which I find so at odds with the Jesus that I find in Scripture, who loves eating and drinking and hanging out, taking strolls with people while feeding their bodies, minds, and souls. And we find through the story today that this pageantry, and that is Palm Sunday, that Jesus had fun while protesting an unjust regime. Jesus launched a revolution that is still happening and still being heard. Among all the things that were happening yesterday in the cities was History Day Regionals. Now, I'm not from Minnesota, so I didn't do this growing up, but I don't know if many of you know about History Day in Minnesota, but it is such a treasure. Each year, the Minnesota Historical Society creates resources with teachers to come alongside students as they research something from history that fits this broad theme. Now, this year's theme was Revolution, Reaction, and Reform. I accompanied my daughter and her friends to Harding High School and was able to peruse these projects surrounding this topic. These youth are incredible, not just in creativity, but in the mental acuity to make connections throughout history and note how it affects us today. And the fun that was having there was palpable. These youth looked like they liked being there, were excited to being there, supporting each other in these scholarly pursuits. And I'm kind of embarrassed to say that I had a visceral reaction, crying, because that's what I do, as I walked around these exhibit boards for numerous reasons, but mostly in awe of these young creators. They are remembering the past in order to make a better future. And because I was preaching today and there were no King's protests gathering around, I couldn't help but to reflect on this theme, revolution, reaction, and reform, in a theological and Christological way. God and God's people throughout Scripture engages in this pattern, making it cyclical. We especially see this embodied through the Exodus, remembered in Passover today, and through the teachings, life, and death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We also remember the past in order to make a better future, to embody the kingdom of God here and now. Palm Sunday was a protest is a popular phrase I've been hearing more and more this past decade, and is the title of the picture you'll see on the screen. Especially around this time last year, when an Episcopal priest went viral for an op-ed in the New York Times entitled, "Palm Sunday was a protest, not a procession." And in this piece, the Reverend Andrew Thayer builds on the scholarship of Marcus Borg and Dominic Crossan and other biblical scholars who point out that the real parade, the real procession that was happening, it was happening on the other side of town. And it was from the real procession was happening on the other side of town from Jesus, where the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate at the time. Jesus and his company were protesting and making fun of that governor's protest. See, every year, the Roman governor of Judea, every year since Jerusalem was captured in 64 BCE, would ride up to Jerusalem from his coastal residence in the west to be in the city for Passover, the Jewish festival that swelled Jerusalem's population from 50,000 to at least 200,000. The Roman governor would come to town during the celebration of liberation with a visible reminder of his military might and power to make sure that nobody got any actual liberating ideas while they celebrated the liberating holiday of Passover. Roman governors did not want their occupied citizens remembering the past in order to make a better future. Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan describe this in their book, The Last Week, What the Gospels Really Teach Us About Jesus' Last Day in Jerusalem. And if you would want a copy of this book, we read it together pre-COVID times, like 2016, during Lent. And it's an amazing book at this last week, if you would like a copy. There's one in the office. But this is what they said regarding the Roman parade that was happening. A visual panoply of imperial power, cavalry on horses, foot soldiers, leather armor, helmets, weapons, banners, gold eagles mounted on poles, sun glinting on metal and gold, the sounds of marching of feet, the creaking of leather, the creaking of bridles, the beating of drums, the swirling of dust, the eyes of the silent onlookers, some curious, some awed, most resentful. And what we find in our text today is that Jesus played with the tradition of claiming that the Messiah would enter into Jerusalem for the final battle of salvation from the Mount of Olives, at the other side of town from the Roman governor. So Jesus begins his triumphal entry into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, but instead, rather than entering on a horse as the governor did across town, he comes on a donkey. Instead of surrounded by an army as the governor does, Jesus enters on a colt surrounded by children and disciples. Jesus takes all the traditions of kingship, of messianic deliverance and honor, and turns them all upside down in an act of civil disobedience, of civil protest. The author of Mark actually only gives us one line about the entry itself, but gives us lots of details about how Jesus orchestrated the event. Why do we care where the colt came from? We care about it because it shows us that Jesus planned this entry with great detail. This was not a spontaneous moment in Jesus's life. Jesus is carefully crafted political theater in order to point to a better future, the kingdom of God. So the crowd spread out their cloaks, they run ahead and follow behind, shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Hosanna in the highest heavens!" And friends, Hosanna doesn't mean praise. It means save us. Save us. And since these people who were shouting this were talking about Jesus and a new kingdom and not the Roman Caesar or of Rome, their words were treasonous, calling for the overthrow of an immoral regime. I always wonder who that first person was to put the cloak and the palms down. Something in my gut tells me it was a kid, just seeing them out there dancing around. They usually are the first ones out, dancing, laughing. Jesus entering with these children, the least of these, the favorite folks that Jesus surrounded himself, women, children, widows, poor people, folks not welcome at the governor's parade across town, that parade of fear. No, Jesus' parade or protest, procession, whatever you call it, was fun. This was a ragamuffin group, think Godspell, Jesus Christ Superstar. Folks brought food to the masses, sharing the abundance of God and saying, "No more kings." Jesus' entry on a colt unmasks the charade of power that the governor is enacting across town that would tell us that the political might and wealth will have the final say. So we enter the gates of the city with Jesus using the good news he brought us. Back then and today, we stand up for the downtrodden. We have solidarity with the outcast. We give our voice to those voices being silenced. We invite people to join in love rather than out of fear. We care for our environment and on earth as if stewardship is different than domination. We show the world we help ourselves by helping others. We protest with our lives and our bodies. Many of us have attended protests in this country in support of or in opposition of whoever is in power. Throughout our history, we've done that, but especially recently. Yesterday, a large number of folks in this congregation joined over 100,000, anywhere 100,000 to 200,000 people of our neighbors at the state capitol to demand accountability for the actions of this administration, demand accountability from our government. Author Rebecca Solnit writes about protests and processions and demonstration in her excellent book, Wanderlust, A History of Walking. In demonstrations, we bring our embodied selves together, moving through public space for an expressive and public purposes. Solnit writes that in demonstrations, we align our bodies with our hearts. We walk together, quote, common movement toward a common goal. This sentence in particular I love. We walk together and the whole street is stamping out the meaning of the day. We walk together and the whole street is stamping out the meaning of the day. I've been thinking a lot about the contrast between how the governor and how Jesus entered the gates of those cities. And it has me noticing how followers of Jesus today often enter the gates. What type of action and meaning are we stamping into the earth with our marches and demonstrations and our mutual aid and our food packing? Palm Sunday was a protest. It was intended to be a contrast between the power of Rome, the power of empire, and the power of God. It was intended to remind people of the liberating power of God that was celebrated in Passover as they remembered the liberation from slavery in Egypt in the time of Moses. If God could defeat Pharaoh back then, surely God can defeat Caesar right now. And if you aren't sure Jesus would do something so political as protest, I will remind you of what Jesus does the day after. He enters the temple and turns over the money-changing tables. He destroys property, not people. Jesus sees Jerusalem and her particular political problems, Roman occupation, poverty, unjust tax system, etc., and rages. He wants these people to recognize the things that make for peace, but instead they cheer for deeds of power. He wants them to recognize the colt as an animal of peace, not of war. He wants them to follow a God of love, but they have commercialized God's house and are using it in a way that makes profit. Jesus will protest Rome's injustice, but he'll also protest the way his own people seek to mirror Rome's injustices. Jesus is not partisan, and we would do well to remember that in today's political climate, that Jesus' radical message is bigger than any political party's platform. Jesus is not partisan, but Jesus for sure is political, because the lives of the people he loves and died to save are played out on this political stage. And Palm Sunday destroys any notion whatsoever that Christianity is just an otherworldly religion concerned with only life after death. On Palm Sunday, Jesus goes public and calls his disciples to live their lives and make their witness heard in the world, here, now. To make a choice and to pick a side, is it God's side or Caesar's? God's way or Caesar's way? The way of mercy and compassion or the way of judgment and bitterness? The way of generosity or the way of scarcity? The way of better together or the way of going it alone? For us on this Palm Sunday, the choice is still with us, and the good news will inspire us to act. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem marks the beginning of Holy Week. Many folks today will take this parade that we started here out into the streets, marching with Isaiah down to the Capitol with palms and chants of love of our neighbor. If you're interested and feel inspired to do that, I would ask the Isaiah folks to wave their palm branches. Nicole, you're going to talk. Who is going down there? You can look around if you want to find a ride or find a friend down when you go. We will also gather again on Thursday to remember the breaking of the bread through a potluck and the act of Jesus' greatest commandment to love our neighbor. We will also end that service on Thursday with a tenebrae denoting Good Friday. On Friday evening, you will have the opportunity to come back for one of our Tazay services where we can contemplate and this understanding of God together. Because we remember on Good Friday, we remember that these chants of Hosanna turned, and the ruling political forces of the day tortured and executed an innocent man. They sacrificed the innocent and blameless to protect their own status and power. We remember that past to create a new and better future. On Easter, next Sunday, we will gather again in celebration because on that third day, Jesus was raised from the dead, revealing not only human injustice, but also unmasking the lie that might makes right. Friends, we still live in a world confused and distorted by power and greed. It did not begin this year or in 2020 or even the 1960s. It has been part of us all along. And when we see people turning against neighbors and capitulating to the demands of a would-be king, we see again the reason why Jesus protested. And the good news inspires us to act alongside of Jesus. Because when we experience friends and neighbors disappearing, we see again the reason Jesus protested. When we are gaslit over and over, telling us not to believe what we see, we again see the reason Jesus protested. When we experience our tax dollars being used to expand the empire and drop bombs instead of being used to house folks and feed kids, we see again the reason Jesus protested. When we see how our systems target the most vulnerable, again, we see the reason Jesus protested. As a nation, we've always been struggling with which gates are the right ones for us to enter. Do we enter the gate with the parade of military war horses and political power? Or do we enter the gate waving palm branches and praising God's way of peace? The crowd that Mark described was making a sacrificial claim. By cheering his triumphal entry from the Mount of Olives, by throwing cloaks on the ground as they cheer, "Save us! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessing is the coming kingdom of David." The crowd is being treasonous against the Roman Empire. They are making a claim of God's rule over Caesar's rule. Long live the King of David. How does that news inspire you to act? Through which gate do you want to enter? You see, the way we choose to enter the gates of the city makes a claim about what we believe and who we choose to follow. Friends, every act, no matter how small we think it is, can be an act of revolution, can be an act of protest, because every act we take builds upon the actions of our ancestors who came before us. Revolutionary and subversive acts do not have to be grandiose or immediately altering. They can be small but immediately unseen, loud and expected but bewilderingly unconventional. In that way, the powers that be cannot control or stop or even anticipate where this next revolutionary act will start. And this week, as we prepare for the Easter celebration, we ask God to help us set down our worry and despair so we can join in God's protest. Let us ask God to help us live in confidence of God's steadfast love in our hearts that endures forever. Let us ask God to help us protest the injustice we see around us and to speak clearly and peacefully against the violent and dehumanizing rhetoric when those would lead us to try to take us to that other gate. Friends, this week, let us spend time with this biblical text, preparing our hearts and minds for the good news and the mystery that is Easter, that only arise through the suffering of the cross. Friends, however you choose to take this small act, however you choose to hear the good news offered in the scripture and choose to act on that, it will be blessed by God. So friends, let us pray for the courage to enter through the gates of righteousness on the side of Jesus, accompanying our Lord through the final days of his earthly life. May it be so. Amen.